bright, sunshiny day.
All right, who's ready for 2020 vision? Are you ready to see? Come on now, are you ready? Now, you know how it is. The louder you clap, the better I preach this morning. So who's ready for 2020 vision? All right. Man, we're so glad that you're here. We started this series last week on 2020 vision, and 2020 vision is simply us saying this, God, we want to see clearly. We want to see like you see. We want to see what you're, where you're taking us, where you're leading us, and not only 2020 vision for us, but help, let us help show somebody else how to see. Let us clear the path for somebody else. Last week, many of you stepped up and have joined us in the 21 days. We call the 21-day challenge. It's 21 days of prayer and fasting. And so we started that last Monday. If you are not here and you want to jump in and join us for the next 2 weeks, we welcome you on board. Jump in and join us for the next 2 weeks. If you started the fast and you say, Pastor, man, I was doing really good for the first 3 days, and then I blew it. I messed up. Well, let me tell you, you know what? In life, you're going to blow it. And in life, we're always sometimes going to fall short. But it's not about how many times you fall or how many times you get knocked down. It's about how many times will you get up and keep going. So just get up and keep going. Jump back on. Let's go. If you got off the fast this week, jump back on today. Get back on with us tomorrow. Let's go. Let's finish strong, okay? Because what we're saying is simply this, that we know that life gets really, really busy. And 2019, even though things don't happen, man, we got school, we got kids, we got jobs, we got the activities, we got ministry, we got this, and we got that. Things are happening, and every so often we add another thing to our plate, and our life gets really, really cluttered. And it didn't happen overnight, and it didn't happen intentionally, and maybe there's nothing bad in your closet that got cluttered. It's just that you keep adding things. And the 21 days of fasting is simply kind of reorganizing, saying, God, I want to put you back at the top of my focus. I want to make sure my heart's right with you. I want to learn to see like you. I want to learn to hear what you're saying to me. And so 21 days of fasting and prayer, where we ask people to pray for 21 days, ask you just to fast something, give up something. Maybe, you know, some people I know are giving up social media. Some people are giving up carbs. Some of you are giving up sugar. Different people are giving up different things. But what is it God asking you to do? And just take that and challenge yourself to do that. Listen, fasting doesn't change God. Fasting doesn't change God. I'm not fasting to earn God's love. I'm not fasting to earn God's attention. If you don't know this, you are the center of God's attention. God loves you so much. He'll never love you more than he loves you right now. And he'll never love you less than he loves you right now. God's love is already there. He fulfilled his love on the cross for you and I. And so I'm not fasting to earn God's love. What fasting does, it doesn't change God. Fasting changes me. Fasting says, God, I don't know, I need to change. I need to reposition myself to see you clearly. I need to reposition myself to hear you clearly once again in my life. The psalmist says, when I am in his presence, my cup runneth over, right? And so just imagine yourself, if I take the cup of in my heart and I hold it up to the Lord, back up above all the other things that have crowded my life. No, I hold my cup up. I spend time in the presence of the Lord. What's going to happen? The Bible says that God will fill my cup once again. And not only does he fill my cup, but it says my cup will run over. So imagine if I lift back up a priority over my finances, over my job, over my marriage, over my school, over my relationships, all these other things going on in life. If I hold this cup up above that and let God fill me, then it begins to overflow and it will spill into every area, affecting every area of my life. And so we're fasting, we're praying, asking God to just recenter us again back where we can put him first in our life. Today we are going forward, and I believe this, that if you want to have 2020 vision, you got to see, right? How many know that you got to see to have 2020 vision? You got to have proper lighting if you're going to have 2020 vision. I know sometimes I'll be coming through the office wing and I got to go to the very back and I don't want to take time to go to the very back and get the lights and turn them on. And so I'll just try to cut through the auditorium by memory and go through the dark. And sure enough, every time I try to do that, I don't take time to go turn on the light. I'll hit the end of a chair. I'll fall over. I'll bite it. I mean, there's been times I just hit myself so hard, I fell on the floor, and I'm like, I'm glad nobody was here to see that. So who moved that roll? It wasn't there last time I walked through there. But that's what I get for walking in the dark, right? Just take time to turn on the light. You see, we're not going to have 20/20 vision unless the light's on. We're not going to have 20/20 vision unless we turn on the light and have proper lighting. So today I want to talk to you about shine your light. Come on, turn to your neighbor and say that. Say, shine your light. Come on, now give them the best preacher voice you can. Say, shine your light. There you go. Yeah. Look what Matthew 5 says. Jesus told us this. Jesus says, you, that's you and I, are the light of the world. We are the light of the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp, then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine out. Come on, let's say that together. Let your good deeds shine out for all to see, that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. If you didn't know this or not, you were created to shine out. You were created to let God's light shine through you and through me. God says we are created to be his light for everyone. We're to be the light of this world. So the question I have to ask you is simply this. Do you shine or not shine? Simple question. Do you shine or do you whine? Maybe that's a better rhyme. Okay. Do you shine or do you shine? Think about it today. You have to answer that question for yourself. Is my spirit really shining? Is my life really shine? You see, light has impact. Light has impact today, and we know that things will grow in the light. Things will reproduce in the light. Crops will not grow unless there's light. Flowers will not bloom unless there's light. The grass will not turn green unless there's light. Trees will not blossom and produce fruit unless there's light. Come on, ladies. You're not going to get any fake tan unless you get some light. Light will change the outcome. Light will change things in our life. Light changes the atmosphere. It's a principle we cannot escape, that darkness is no match for the light. Now, I know today we love watching Marvel movies and all these superhero movies. And man, I love them and you love them. It's a lot of fun to watch. But we watch them and, you know, it's always a good guy. And then someone, darkness comes, evil comes, and he overtakes the good guy. And then the good guy hero ends up coming back at the last minute and barely overtakes and defeats the darkness. And that's great plots for movies. And that's a great movie line to keep us on the edge of our seat. But in all reality, darkness is no match for the light. Darkness has no power over the light. That today, that turn on the black to stage for a second, guys. Today, I know this, that when there is darkness, let's get these lights back here black for me if you could, because I want to make sure it's complete dark on the stage. And when there's darkness, immediately when I turn on the light, boom, look what happens. There was no struggle for light today, was there? There was no struggle. This little piece of light is shining throughout this whole building and lighting up wherever I pointed to the back corner. I can see the people in the back. You can turn it back on. Why? Because darkness is no match for the light. There is no power struggle going on with darkness and light. Physics will tell us. It is a physical law that there is no way that darkness can overtake the light. Even a pinhole of light will shine and go all the way through darkness. Why? Because it cannot. Light is more powerful than darkness. That should get you excited today, because Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and you are the light of the world if I'm in you. And today we know this, there is nothing that darkness can do to defeat us if we'll just stand our ground, walk in the light of God and say, thank you, God, that you have already defeated the darkness in my life. The darkness has already been defeated today because we have received the light of God. For all those who come and surrender your life to the light of God, light will always defeat the darkness. You can't get away from that. But it's a physical law. It's a physical reality, and it's a spiritual reality. The light will always defeat the darkness. On the first day of creation, we'll see it in the first book of Genesis, where it says, on the first day that God looked out upon the darkness of the earth, and it's all was void, and he said, let there be light, and boom, there was light, right? It happened right away. Light happened when God spoke it into existence. But time out. Have you ever thought about this? That on the first day, God created light, and there was light. But God never created the sun and the moon until day number four. Wait. How was there light if God didn't create the sun and the moon until day number four? Let me explain it to you this way, is simply this, that God is light, and everything out of him is the light of God. And the moon and the sun, they may be given to us as a light source, but they are not the source of light. The source of light comes from God himself. And anytime you have somebody who says, I had a vision of the God, or I seen God, and we see in scripture, there was a bright light that followed. Why? Because God is light. And everything in him shines the light. And could it be that in his DNA, that he says, let there be light, and boom, across the world, there was a light. Across the universe, there was a light. He takes that same DNA into us, and he says he formed man into his own image, and he grabbed the dust of the earth, and he breathed upon it. And as he breathed upon it, that DNA went into you and I, and he says, we are the light. That we have the DNA of God in us. That is the light of the world. And God has created us that the darkness cannot defeat the light. You've been given with the DNA of a champion. You've been given the DNA of a light. Come on, you got a hand clap for that. You can choose to either blend in with the darkness, or you can choose to be a light. Tomorrow when you go back to work, you can walk in and choose to blend in with the darkness. See what I mean? Well, let me just put it to you more practical ways. You can choose to blend in with everybody who's gossiping. You can choose to blend in with everybody who's a Debbie Downer. Wah, wah, wah. We didn't get any snow. This is going to be a horrible week. Did you hear about so-and-so? They did this and that. I mean, you can choose to come in and blend in with the darkness. Or you can simply come in and say, you know what? No, I'm just going to come in and be positive. I'm just going to come in with the light of God just shining in my life. I'm going to come in and just pick people. I'm going to be an encourager. Wow, what a transformation to come in and say, I'm going to encourage people. I'm going to come in. I'm going to encourage others. I'm going to encourage my coworkers. I'm going to encourage my campus. I'm going to encourage my friends. I can either blend in with the darkness, or I can just simply stand out with the light. Why? Because just even a little bit of light will go a long ways. It's the way God created us. So are you going to blend in, or are you going to let your light shine? You've been given the ability to change the atmosphere. As a Christian today, you've been given the ability to change the atmosphere of your school, of your workplace, of your home. Wherever you're at, you've been given the ability to let God's light shine, and you can control and change the atmosphere. Or you can just sit back and blend into the darkness. Which one will it be? Now, I believe in 2020, God's calling us to jump out of the darkness, to blend out of the darkness and get back into the light, that we're going to follow the light of God and we're going to be the light of God. And I'm going to let his light shine in my life like never before. I want to see God clearly through the darkness. It's time to shine. It's not time to whine. It's time to shine. Come on now. Let's get to the place where we're saying, God, I'm going to walk in and I'm going to change the atmosphere. That I know this, that I was once lost. I couldn't see. The Bible says I was blind. But now I can see. I can see. I was there. And I can see the light, and I followed the light of God, and I came and I surrendered myself to God's purpose in my life. And he changed me. And he changed my life. I can see now God's purpose. I can see my destiny. I can see my image that God created me to be. I see myself more than what people say I am. I see myself more than what I ever thought I could be because God's got a purpose in my life. I found the light of God. It's changed me with his grace. It's changed me with his love. It's changed my destiny. It's changed my life for eternity. I'm telling you, I was lost, but the cross was waving the light of Jesus on my life, and I follow the light of God, and it has radically changed my life, and I will never, ever be the same. I can't be quiet. I refuse to be quiet. I've got to tell people that Jesus is the way, that he can change your life, that he can bring hope to your life. He can bring a purpose to your life. Today, God restores your life through what? Finding the light. I was lost, but I found the light of God. Is there anybody lost and needed to find God's light? Is there anybody that needs to find God's light? Sir, do you need to find God's light? Come on to God's light, sir. Come on right there. Yeah, you want to find God's light? Here you go, sir. God loves you. God loves you. He's got a purpose for your life. He's got a purpose for your life. God's going to use you to be God's light. Everywhere you go, God wants to use your life. God has restored your life. God has healed your life. Take it to the world. And what happens? Is he supposed to stay with the light? No, he takes that light. We take that light and we go back out and we wave it and we find other people and we find other people who need to see the light and we find other people. God's still waving the light and I've got his light and now I'm taking his light to the world and now I'm shining his light to the world and I'm showing people, come on, see what Jesus can do in your life. Come on, see what God wants to do in my life. Get 2020 vision for your life. Give God a big hand clap one more time. Come on now. I'm telling you, he's given me his light to show me the way, and he's given me the light so I can go and show others. He doesn't just want me to have 2020 vision. He wants me to help other people see 2020. Oh, that's what life's about. Oh, there's my purpose. Oh, there's the thing I've been trying to fill in my life. There's the void I've been trying to fill in my life. Oh, I see it now. It's the love of God. It's been calling me all the days of my life. He's been following me. He's been pursuing me. I've seen it. I sensed it. And now I understand it. It's overwhelming. When I'm in it, it impacts me. It grows me. It warms me. I'm telling you, I produce fruit when I'm in the light. I grow in the light. And I help other people see clearly as well. What are you going to do? Are you going to shine your light? Let me give you quickly today. I got a video I want to show you here in just a minute, but I want to give you this. Let me give you four quick keys, just four quick things on how to let your light shine bright. Number one, you got to walk with the light. Simply walk with the light. You got to walk with it, man. You spend time walking with the light, what happens? I'm in the light, right? I got to walk with the light. That's why 21 days of just simply praying, asking God, God, let's go today. God, direct me today. God, lead me today. It's amazing what happens when we simply surrender our life every day, get up and say, Holy Spirit, let's go. God, lead me today. God, I'm listening to you today. God, speak to me today. I'm telling you, something happens when you walk close to the Lord in this light. John 1:1-5. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him. In case you don't know what he's talking about, this is the Spirit of Jesus. Jesus is the living Word of God. The Word of God, written Word of God, comes from the Spirit of Jesus and through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought what? Light to everyone. Jesus' life, the light of the Word, brought life to everyone. Light to everyone. And then let's say this word. The light shines. Let's say it together. The light shines in the darkness. And the darkness can never extinguish it. Darkness can never overtake the light of God. So I don't care what the enemy does to kill, steal, and destroy, to distract, to discourage, to battle you, you've got to realize this is a fixed fight. I've already won as long as I stay in the light. As long as I stay near to God. God, I'm not leaving your side. God, I'm not leaving. My trust is in you. Jesus, I will trust you. I will follow you all the days of my life. God, I'm in this thing. I'm not leaving. I'm staying with the light. And the line shines to me and through me. This is what the plan of God is. And there's something, I saw this video this week. I've seen it a couple times, it was shared, and I thought maybe you guys would enjoy it today. It kind of blew me away. John Bevere released a short video of a talk he was having. They did a study of 40,000 people who were Christians, and they were trying to track and see how many times a week they were spending reading Scripture. And that was really what the study was about. But because they were doing the study, they actually found out something totally different about the impact. And I think this will blow you away. This is what happens when you spend time in the light.
There was a recent study by the Center for Bible Engagement where they pulled 40,000 general population in the U.S. from 8 to 80. And they just wanted to see how we are engaging with Scripture.
Right.
And they discovered something that actually became kind of the profound discovery of the entire study. They weren't even looking for this, and this is kind of became the highlight of the study.
Right.
When we're in the Scripture one time a week, and that could be church on Sunday, that's pastor saying you open your Bible, we hear the message, one time a week had negligible effect on some key areas of your life. So I'm going to spell that out more here in a moment. Two times a week, negligible effect. Now, at three times a week, there was a blip on the map, like there was a heartbeat. Something happened, again, a heartbeat.
Okay.
But here was the profound discovery. When we're in the Scripture four times a week, it literally spikes off the chart. You would expect that it'd be one, two, there'd be a gradual incline on the effect and impact that would have in your life, but it was literally one, two, three, four, something radically happens.
Okay, you got my curiosity.
To this extent.
What kind of behavior is being affected?
Feeling lonely drops 30%.
Wow. Four times a week in the Bible.
Four times a week in the Bible.
Okay.
Anger issues drop 32%. Bitterness in relationships, marriage, a relationship with your kids, and so on, drops 40%. Alcoholism drops 57%. Feeling spiritually stagnant. You know, if there was one area when I'm talking with people that they'll be honest about is they just feel spiritually stagnant. Ask them the question, how much time are you spending in Scripture? If they're in the Scripture four times a week or more, it drops 60%.
Wow.
Viewing pornography drops 61%.
That's very important.
Now, on a flip positive side, sharing your faith jumps 200%.
Wow.
Because you have a confidence in God's word. And then discipling others jumps 230%.
That's amazing right there.
Think about that, man. Four times a week. Four times a week, something begins to trigger. Something jumped off the charts at four times a week. And I began to pray about it, and I was like, God, why is the number four significant? And then I began to think about it, and I just felt in my spirit, this is my opinion, I feel like the Lord was leading me, was simply this, that there's 7 days in a week, and when you commit to giving God that fourth day, that you have said, all right, more days I'm going to spend in God's word this week than I have not. More, at least 4 days, it becomes the dominant day that Jesus said, I'm going to allow the light of God to dominate my life at least 4 days, and things begin to happen. See, when you walk in the light, attitudes change, depression can change, restoration can happen. Man, you feel bold when you're spending time in the light of God, you're walking with God, you're reading His word, all of a sudden you're like sharing people, you're sharing your faith. I'm shy, I don't know what to do. I'm telling you, it'll happen when you're in the light. It just happens naturally. It'll happen naturally when you spend time in the light. So we got to learn to walk in the light. This is why there's 21 days of reading the word every day, fasting, just praying, just spending some time recentering ourselves. We'll re-gear us back up for where we need to be walking this year. Number two, let me quickly go through these. Number two, love with abandon. Man, you got to love with all your heart, everything God's given us. John 15:9-13. Jesus said, I have loved you even as the Father loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love. Just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love, I have told you these things so that you would be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I loved you. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus wants us to love this way. Let me put it a different way to you. Love your enemies, Jesus said. Those who persecute you, love them. Those who do you wrong, love them. Wow, that's really tough. But love people, love people, love people. I want to be your light. Then love the unlovable. Love people that you don't even know. Love people that you may never even see. Love, have a love for people. Love people, love people. This is what God wants us to do. Love people who believe differently than you. Love people who vote differently than you. Oh, well, now I'm really stepping on your toes, right? Okay. We got to learn to love people. If you want to be God's light, you got to walk in the light. You got to love with an abandoned heart. And number three, you got to be God's ambassador. We are called to be his ambassador. 2 Corinthians 5:18 says that all this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God gave us, me and you, this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against him. And he gave us, that's me, that's you, this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. God wants to use you to be his light. You want to walk in the light? Walk in the light. You want to show unconditional love to people? We want to love people. We want to love people. We want to be his ambassador. God, you called me to be your ambassador. And just simply let your light shine. Number four, let your light shine. Let your light shine. I mean, hide it under a bushel. What? Hide it under a lampshade. What? What are you going to do? There you go. Let it shine. Come on, we learned that as a little kid. Hide it under a bushel. No! You got to scream. Come on, you're not going to do it. No! I'm going to let it shine. It comes right out of the word. You got to choose. Just choose simply this. I'm going to take off the lampshade and let it shine, man. I'm just going to take off the cover and let it shine. God just wants you to let your love shine through me. 2 Corinthians 4:5 says this. You see, we don't go around preaching about ourselves. Well, that's pretty good right there, right? So I'm not called to go around and brag on myself. I don't preach about myself. We preach that Jesus, if you don't know this, it's all about Jesus, is the Lord. And we ourselves are your servants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, let there be light in the darkness, has made this light, what? Let's say it again. He has made this light shine in our hearts, so that we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Christ. So he is calling us. If you don't know this, your purpose, your calling, your destiny, however you want to package it, I don't care how you want to put it into the New Year's resolution, our purpose, our calling, our destiny, our vision statement will always start right here. I am called to shine the light of God. That's why I'm created, to shine the light of God. He put his light in me to shine, that all the good deeds I do will shine to God's grace in my life, that I was once a sinner, and I was once falling short of God's glory, and I blew it in my life. But thank God that he gave his life on the cross, that my life could be forever changed, that my destiny is forever changed, and I will never, ever be silent of the fact that Jesus Christ changed my life, that Jesus Christ came to radically change my life, and I'm called to show that light to everybody else. Let it shine out of me. Let it shine out of me. It should be out of my heart. It's got to come out of me. Let it shine. 2020 vision, we don't want to hide it. We want to let it shine. I believe that God's calling us as Christians, as Christ's ambassadors, to shine brighter than ever before this year in 2020. I believe he's calling us as a church body, at Destiny Church. He wants us to shine brighter than we ever have before for Jesus. And I'm not talking about shining bright inside these four walls. I'm talking about shining bright when we leave here, that we can make an impact with the gospel of Jesus, that we can do it, that the walls of this church can't hold when people begin to show God's love, that we'll shine this light and people will run. They will fill the house of God, and we'll fill this church. We'll fill the church down the street, and we'll fill the church around the corner, and we'll help fill the church around the other side of town, and we'll help fill churches on the other side of the world. Why? Because he's called me to shine his light. This is my destiny. This is your destiny. I want this light to shine like never before. It's going to be a year where we have strategic times when we're really coming together and shining his light bright. I'm going to be telling you more about these here at a different date, but I want to highlight one today. I believe that God's wanting us to come together as a group, as a body, and to shine his light to some some kids and some people who really need a difference made. I've been in meetings with Convey of Hope. Many of you know who Convey of Hope is. They are first ones on the disaster here, and when we had our tornado in Joplin, man, they came through and they were the first ones to have their trailers here, bringing down supplies and workers, and just kept those semis coming in and giving away so many supplies. And they're always one of the first ones when a natural disaster happens, especially in the U.S., one of the first ones on there with the earthquake, flooding, tornadoes. They also help around the world with natural disasters. They're bringing supplies right away in. But they also do a lot more than just helping during natural disasters. That they also help feed people who are hungry. Do you realize that stats tell us today, and this is a little low, some stats are even higher, that today 16,000 kids will die of starvation. And every day 16,000 kids will die because they're hungry and don't have enough food to eat. That's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. And so I've been talking to them over the last several months, and they have no church who is helping in Joplin, even though this is a major worldwide ministry that's reaching people for the last over 20 years. They're in Springfield, our backyard, you know, one of our local communities, not too far down the street, 60 miles away. It's national ministry, Convey of Hope. They got corporate sponsors. They got churches all around. I even have friends who've been partnering with them. They have very large churches are partnering with them. But there's nobody in Joplin who is partnering with them. And what a shame. I believe God wants us to step up, and I believe he wants us to partner with them. Been praying about this, been spent some time fasting about this, and I believe God wants us to do this. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you in 4 weeks from today, actually 3 Sundays from today, on Super Bowl Sunday, I'm going to ask you to pray about another thing. I'm asking you to pray about, would you be willing to give up one day's salary, one time a year, to help feed hungry children? Say they need the gospel. They need education. That's true. But you know how hard it is to receive the gospel and education when you can't concentrate because you're so hungry? You can't listen because you're so hungry? And so they are strategic in going to places where they're setting up education, they're setting up churches, and they're feeding them out of the churches. Kids are coming there. Families are coming, they're eating a meal, and then they go right to school where they can learn. And then they're hearing about the love of Jesus and getting God's word. And so we're connecting them to churches, we're feeding them, and then letting the local church do what it needs to do to reaching them. I know this is an overwhelming thing, and I'm just asking you to pray about it on Super Bowl Sunday, whether you'd be willing to give up one day's salary to end world hunger. I want you to watch this short video and kind of begin to think about it now.
You are entering a world that's in crisis. Desperation, fear, loneliness have reached epidemic proportions, and millions still don't know that Jesus loves them. Frankly, that's why the world cannot afford for you to settle for a weak, apathetic brand of religion. The need out there is so great that God needs you at your best. I get it. It's so easy to become overwhelmed by the magnitude of the need and to throw up your hands and to say, that's not my problem. What will be. But the God you serve longs to rescue millions. Repeatedly, you have been told that it's your job to bring the world to the church. Let me suggest to you that it's your job to take the church to the world. If ever the world needed a revolution of compassion and kindness, it needs one now. And so today the choice is yours to deliver hope to a desperate world. And there will be times that battle fatigue will set in. Friend, you are not created to play the role of a victim. You are an overcomer who has been raised up by Almighty God to bring hope and healing to the world. It's true. Let me challenge you to do something great for a world that needs you at your best. Together we can dry tears, we can give them hope. Millions are hurting and in need of help. Will you help them?
So I believe on Super Bowl Sunday that many of you are going to join with me. We're going to give up one day's salary for the year to help fight world hunger. Convoy of Hope is feeding over 200,000 kids a day. They're helping feed them warm meals, good meals. They're empowering and training close to 20,000 women who are not allowed to be educated. They're educating them, getting them safe places to learn. They've raised up over 24,000 farmers, teaching them how to farm the soil they live in, where they live at. Many places can't grow. They don't have the proper training. And so they have doctors of soil who actually will go do soil samplings and then tell them what will grow and show them how to grow crops that will produce in their environment. And these guys are learning how to actually farm. And they're feeding themselves and they're feeding their community through this farming. It's an amazing, amazing ministry. Every dollar you give, this is a credible organization worldwide known. They receive a 5-star through inspection of charities. They've been inspected. Their books have been looked over front and backwards. 90% of every dollar you give will go to the field. That's a very, very high amount. A lot of times when you give to a charity, national charity, half of it goes to administration, and sometimes even less than that actually makes it to the field. And so 90% of what you give will go straight to the field to feed kids, to train farmers, to go to women who are not getting educated. And could it be that God wants to do something in us and through us? And us to reach out across the world and help some kids we will never see. Pastor, 16,000 are dying today. How is this going to make really a dent? Maybe it's reminded of the story of the little girl who went around the beach and she was picking up starfish. She were all over the beach. They had washed up and she was picking them up and throwing them in, trying to save them. And this man walked up and said, "Little girl, what are you doing? Look at this beach. They're everywhere. You'll never be able to save all these starfish. What are you doing?" And she picked one up and as she threw it in at him, she goes, "I saved that one." And she picked another one. "Well, I saved that one. I made a difference in that one's life." And that's what we're going to do. We're going to make a difference in some kids' lives. We're going to feed them. We're going to be God's hands and feet. We're going to be the light across the world. And we're going to feed some kids who need to be fed so that God's love can shine upon their life and they can receive God's love. So I'm asking you on Super Bowl Sunday, as many as you will, to join me and say, "I'm going to pray about it. I'm going to prepare. We've got 3 more Sundays to prepare for this. I'm going to bring a one-day offering." We're going to be talking about it over the next 3 Sundays. I got some more videos I'll show you and give you more information. But I want you preparing your heart now. You've seen our banners out there in the foyer. We're going to partner. We're praying with this. We want to make a worldwide impact. We want the light of God to shine. We want to have 2020 vision. What do you think God's going to do when we say, "God, we're worried about kids across the world we don't even see, and we're going to shine the light all the way from across here, and we're going to show them God's love"? Something's going to happen on the inside of us. Something's going to happen on the inside of us. I believe this is what God's calling us to do. I want you to bow your heads. If you're here today and say, "Pastor, first of all, I just feel like I need to come to the light today. I need to surrender my life fully to Jesus Christ. I've never accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior." The Bible says we must believe that He is the Son of God. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. That He died on the cross for my sins. And I must confess it with my mouth. If you've never done that before, today is your day. And I won't do anything. We're not going to embarrass you or single you out, I promise you. But with that, anybody looking but me, I'm the only one looking. Can you just raise your hand? Say, "Pastor, where I'm sitting today, I'm ready to make Jesus Lord of my life." Just raise it where I can see it. Let me see it, guys. Come on, raise it now. Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. If you haven't raised it right now. Come on, let me see those hands. I see the hand in the back. Yeah, thank you. All right, this is what we're going to do. For those of you who raise your hands, I want you to say this prayer after me. As Christians sitting around you, we'll help you along as well. We'll say it with you. Say, "Dear Jesus, I surrender all of my life to You. I confess I am a sinner, and I need Your love and forgiveness. Thank You for dying on the cross for my sins. I believe You are the Messiah, God's only Son. And from this day forward, I will follow after You all the days of my life. In Jesus' name." If you prayed that prayer for the first time, we say, "Welcome to the family of God." Give him a big hand. This is why we're here today. Now listen, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, it's just the beginning, okay? You got to grow in Christ. You got to, it's more than just saying a prayer. That's the beginning. Now it's a new journey. You got to be involved in our church family. You got to come and find out what your destiny is and discover what that is through the life-changing message of Jesus. Learn what it means to be light to a darkened world. Today, I'm going to ask you, as you stand up across the building, how many say, Pastor, today, I am making it my heart's prayer that in 2020, I'm being challenged today, and I accept the challenge that I want to be God's light like never before. I want to spend time in God's light. I want to be a brighter light than I ever have. I bet you raise your hand and you say, yeah, that's fine. Yeah, thanks, guys. This is our year to shine, guys. There's something happening in the atmosphere, and I believe prophetically today that God is going to do something in us as we begin to say, yes, God. God, I'm telling you, God is going to use you. There's going to be creative ways. You're going to say yes to this, and God's going to wake you up with ideas of how to shine the light. And it has nothing to do with what's happening on the inside of the church. It's what God's doing on the inside of your life. And he's going to give you ways of showing love to people you work with people in your community, with people in your neighborhood, people in your school. God's going to show you ways of being the light, his hands and feet. And God is going to transform a place. I'm telling you, God is wanting us to take it to a new level. Come on, let's sing a song. Make it the prayer of our heart today. Lift your hands. I want to pray with you today. Father, I thank you, Lord, for people who say yes. May this be the year we say yes, God. We say yes. 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 God, use us. God, let us see the hurting. God, let us see the darkness. And God, we say yes to be in your hands and feet. We say yes to be in your light. We say yes. We say yes. We say yes. If you believe that, put your hands together, God. Amen. So I say yes today, God. Thank you so much today for being here. Listen, it's going to be an exciting time. Super Bowl Sunday, we're going to bring those offerings. It's going to be an awesome day. We're going to have a lot of other things going on. You'll hear about it next week. It's always a big, big, fun day here at Destiny. God bless you. We love you. Turn to somebody, give them a high five. Say, it was good to be with you at church today. God bless you.